Well, good day to everyone. Can you believe that it's the end of January? It just doesn't seem possible to me how this month has flown by. But from our standpoint of being able to study the Word of God together, what a great time it's been for me, and I trust you also, as we've looked at the force of righteousness. Now, I've shared with you how I got into that a little bit, but I want to tell you that as I really continued to press into the Lord later in the year and even to the first part of this year, it became obvious to me that this is a topic that He wants me to pursue this year. And so don't be surprised if we point out some things about righteousness as we go through the future studies we do together. But I also wanted to share with you the second thing that He talked to me about, and I'm sure we'll teach on that at some point. And that the word that I really heard was resist complacency. Now, when I think about complacency, I think about something that can really be an enemy to a person, to a nation like ours, where things that are abnormal that we know aren't right become normal. Or it can work the opposite way. We just become satisfied with what we have and we don't continue to grow. And I think both ends of that spectrum are some things that the Lord is focusing me on this year. So we'll probably teach about it. But one of the key areas that He's highlighted, and I saw this years ago, but I didn't see the magnitude of it, is this phrase, don't settle. And I think that's what complacency can get us to do sometimes, don't settle. So let me say to you today, we're going to be looking at that. But concerning righteousness, don't settle for where we are today. Let's continue to pursue this so that we can look back at this year and say, wow, I am the righteousness of God, and what a difference it's made in my life. So today I want to be talking about righteousness through covenant love, and we're going to do a review in a little different way today. We're going to look at it really just very, very briefly, because last week I added one new verse to our list of verses, which was really stressing the importance of being righteousness, and we'll go over that one a little later on. We'll also go over all of them as we conclude today. And then we looked at 9 verses, which are promises to the righteous. That's how we closed. And what great and precious promises are available to us through these verses. But I just want to highlight 3 of them today. Two more we'll do as part of the teaching. But I want to start with Psalm 34, verse 17. The righteous cry out, so we can call out to God. Again, we're doing it not out of fear, not out of begging, but in faith, because we do live by the righteousness of faith. And it says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. And He does what? He delivers them. Who is them? You and I, the righteous, out of all their troubles. That's a promise. And we need revelation on that last phrase, just like we need revelation on righteousness. The second one is also in Psalm. This is a verse that I had posted on the door as we would leave our house when we lived in Johnson City on Chesterfield Drive. We had to go to the garage. You walk through the laundry room, and on the garage door was pasted this scripture. Psalm 5, verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. You will surround him. Some of the translations say compass him about, as with a shield. That's what the Lord does for you and I. And think of all the protection that that shield offers. And then finally, the one I really want us to begin to think about, even as we walk through this teaching today together, is Psalm 37, verse 25. And the New King James reads this way, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants or his seed, as some of us might quote King James, begging bread or begging for bread. Never forsaken. Man, just if we don't get anything else today, let's walk away with that one. And you're going to see how it comes because of His great love. We as the righteous, He has promised us He will never forsake us. And everything that we need will be continually provided, no matter what's going on in this earth today. Now, today I want to pick up and really begin to talk about where we ended last week. We were looking at Psalm 146, verse 8. And it says in the New King James, "The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down." So, the Lord opens the eyes of those who don't see. And I believe for us today, this is talking about spiritual eyes. It can also be talking about physical, but I believe it's talking about spiritual. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. We who don't think much of ourselves, we who always hang our head, we can hold our head high like that Roman soldier that we described a couple of weeks ago. And why can we do that? This next phrase is the reason why. The Lord loves the righteous. And what have we learned? That's you and I. Nothing we did to earn it. We've been made that. Now, if we look at that with a New Testament, a New Covenant perspective, where we're not earning it, it's not about us, we want to begin to explore why He's done that. And He gives us that in that previous verse. He says, "The Lord loves the righteous." So today I want to talk about righteousness through covenant love. And I want to use covenant love because, or His loving kindness, some translations will say. But it's the word hesed that we've studied a lot, where He gives us way above and beyond all that we deserve to give. Doesn't that sound like grace? I think hesed is an Old Testament version of what grace is to us in the New Testament. And we've already seen the relationship now between grace and righteousness. Grace rules, but righteousness is what opens the door for it to flow. And as you're going to see, it's the same way with this great love. Everything we get flows to us, even the grace, because of His love for us. Psalm 11, verse 7, "For the Lord is righteousness. He loves righteousness." And then it says, "The upright," or I might say the righteous, or I would say you and I, "will behold His face." Now, can you imagine that? 1 Corinthians 13:12, I believe it is, says that we're going to see Him one day face to face. But can I tell you, now that we are living this eternal life, this is something we can do daily. Aren't we instructed to come boldly to that throne of grace where He is and behold His majesty and His glory, and then take that mercy, take that loving kindness, and obtain grace to help in this time of need? So the Lord is righteous. He does things right. He has His right way. He loves that because love is His very nature, and that's what He enjoys doing, is being righteous to those of us He cares about. And it says, therefore, we can behold His face. Now, we couldn't behold His face, and I'm getting ahead of myself, if we hadn't been made righteous. So thankful for that this morning, that He'll never forsake us and that He loves us so much He gave of His very nature. And not only gave it, He placed it inside us. So how could man, and we'll backtrack a little bit with this to reinforce some things, how could man ever become righteous enough to behold His face? Well, let's go back to John 3:16. We're going to get very basic. We're going to read 16 through 18. "For God so loved the world." Now, that's talking about people. "He so loved the world that He gave." Now, I can just stop there. He gave us salvation through redemption. He loves us like He loved Jesus. He made us righteous, like Jesus was righteous and was made righteousness as He was raised up. So, "For God so loved the world," people, "that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever does what? Believes in Him." Isn't that how Abraham was made to be righteous? The Lord reckoned it to him as he believed the word. Jesus said, "Abraham saw my day." He saw Him. He believed it, even though it wasn't his time to come manifest here. Abraham believed what the Lord had said, and that's right where we are today. So whoever believes in him will not perish, but have that eternal, that God kind of life. And then 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to judge the world. As I was meditating that one, I thought about you and I. And really, I'm getting ahead of myself again, so let me read on. But he said that the world through him would be saved. So he didn't come for judgment, but for what? For salvation through which we are made righteous. And then verse 18 says simply, he who believes in him is not judged. That's you and I. Why aren't we judged? Because Jesus, through the cross, has already been judged to be sinful for your and my sin, and therefore we get this great exchange of righteousness. Let me just read that one again. He who believes in him is not judged. So quit judging yourself as unworthy. Quit judging yourself as condemned, as not fit for use, as not fit to be inhabited, as we talked about before. Now it goes on to say that he who does not believe has already been judged. He's judged himself simply because he won't believe in Jesus. Gosh, that opens up a different way of looking at those verses when you think of it that way. So I would say this. Grace came. And isn't that what John, first chapter, verses 16 and 17, talking of Jesus says? 16 says, and of his fullness we have all received. Again, think about righteousness. You've received the fullness of his righteousness in your born-again spirit man. And then it says, and grace for grace. Now, think about grace now as this covenant love pouring out what we don't deserve. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ and him coming to this earth. What a revelation that is as we consider righteousness in that. Grace and truth came. Now again, it's like a lot of other things. Unless we grow and get revelation and have that revelation pierce our hearts so that we know that we know that we know, then we're not in a position to act on that. And that's why we're studying righteousness, this force of righteousness today. So it's really not just about saying, I've been made it, but it's about believing it to a point where you begin to act as a righteous man. You live from your spirit. And then we talk about how this act could make us righteous. It's because we believe on the only begotten, truth himself, righteousness himself, grace himself. Psalm 40, verses 7 through 10, really talks about this. Now, this is written by the sons of Korah, or maybe Korah himself, and it's written about their king, which was David, who was a type of what? For us, he was a type of Jesus. Now, listen to what it says, and he's speaking now of what David would say, but he's really prophesying about Jesus. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. Now, who too has the word written on our heart, our born-again spirit? We do. He says, I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation to the people in the earth. David was doing it in the temple. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. In other words, I've not just kept what's in my heart. I'm living from that. I'm showing you as I live from that. I have spoken of thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed loving kindness, hesed, grace for us in the New Testament, and thy truth from the great congregation. So Jesus has come, and he and the Father have declared righteousness in the earth, and we who have believed in him have been made righteousness, just like Abraham was. Thank you, Lord, for the cross and for this great exchange. What a revelation that is. What power there is that flows through that, just like we saw when we looked at the breastplate of righteousness. So grace and truth came and declared us righteous. Now let's go to one of our foundational verses in 2 Corinthians 5:21. We get some insight into how Paul can now declare that him who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, was made to be sin, and I would add, by the Father, on our behalf, that we might become, be made, that we might come to be righteous, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. So what do we see here? This is that covenant exchange where we get all the benefit of his greatness, and yet he takes away those very things that hinders us having relationship with him. So because of his hesed, because of his loving kindness, because of his covenant love, we walk in the covenant promises. Now Psalm 33, verses 4 and 5. For the word of God is right. We might say it's truth. It's always right. Doing the word of God is always right. And then it goes on to say, and all his work is done in truth. So right and truth. And how do things come to pass? All his work is done in truth by speaking those words. That's something you and I need to do, is we need to declare that I have been made the righteousness, and your voice will have much more impact over you than just listening to me say you've been made righteous. You need to look in the mirror and say that about yourself. He goes on to say he loves righteousness. He loves justice. It was through that justice that this great exchange took place. The earth is full of his goodness. Now, in this verse, the word that is translated goodness is hesed. The earth is full of his covenant love, his goodness. That's what Moses saw as the Lord passed by him and he beheld a goodness of his backside. You now, being made righteous, gives you and I all the access that we need to all of his goodness, to all those promises. But to be able to receive those promises, we've got to have our mind renewed. And what is it that helps us remove all that hinders us from receiving? What is the force that helps us to receive? It's that force of righteousness. We'll look at a verse today as we close that'll just show you that so discreetly. I think you'll just shout. We should shout when we see it. These verses in Psalm 36, and I'm going to read this from the English Standard because it does a really good job, really sums up everything we've talked about here in this session. It says, your steadfast love, covenant love, hesed, in other words, no performance on my part, freely given, grace to us in the New Testament. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heaven. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Now, can I just tell you that I believe faithfulness is an attribute of righteousness? As I was meditating this, that's actually what I heard the Lord say today, that me being faithful is part of me being right. And I say that because we're to live by the faith of the Son of God. We live, as the Old Testament says, by his faith that he's given us, that righteous faith. Verse 6 says, your righteousness is like the mountains of God. In other words, there's a position of strength and power there. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love. How precious is his grace. O God, the children of mankind, we take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And I'm going to say we for they here. We feast on the abundance, remember that goodness, in your house. And you give them to drink from your river of delights. Oh, when I see delights, things that he thinks are good. For with you is the fountain of light. In your light, do we see light? That's not a question, that's a statement. Verse 10, O continue your steadfast love. And what does he know? What do we know? We saw in one of the verses we looked at last week and again today that he is eternally faithful. Continue your steadfast love to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Now that last phrase, he's going to continue to make more known about his righteousness so that we can understand more throughout our lifetime as we walk with him. His righteousness defends us if we miss the mark. It's an offensive weapon by the brightness as it shines like his glory. And his righteousness is now my righteousness because I've been made righteous in my Christ Jesus. I want to move and just talk now about righteousness, peace, and joy. And yes, I'm going to read the scripture from Romans 14. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. So don't let things that are you do in the flesh. It's really beginning to make a delineation. He says, then he amplifies that. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not of the flesh, but it's what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, in this new heart that we've been given when we've been born again. Goes on to say, for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable. Now, acceptable there you ought to read is well-pleasing. That's really what it's saying. It's well-pleasing to God and it's approved by man. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make. So let us pursue something that makes for what? Peace and those things by which one may edify or build up another. So pursue that which makes peace. And you know probably where I'm going with that, but let's read another verse before we get there. John 14, 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. So what he brought to this earth, he left here. He then gives us some insight. He says, my peace I give to you. Now, how did he have peace? Because he knew he was righteous, and he knew God would not ever forsake him, even if he became sin and gave up his life, that he knew that he would be resurrected again by the great love and the faithfulness that the Father had. He goes on and says, this peace is not as the world gives. In other words, the peace that the world gives comes and goes. But the peace that we get is steadfast forever. Let not your heart be troubled, and let it not be afraid. Now, do you remember the verse that we saw? We'll look at it in a moment. That when we become established in righteousness, we will not fear. So all of these little phrases tie back to us being made righteous. So how does his true peace, his peace, come to us? Well, back to a verse we've spent some time on, Isaiah 32, verse 17. Again, from the English Standard Version. The effect or the result of knowing that you've been made righteous. So the effect of righteousness, having it been revealed to us, will be peace. And the result of that righteousness, that peace, will create what? Rest or quietness and trust or confidence or consistent faith forever. So we've seen those relationships. And that's what kept the children of Israel out. They could not enter into that rest because they could not see themselves worthy of that. And they did not, as a result, believe what the Lord said. Now, Psalm 11, verse 19, reads this way, and see this speaking about you. A son of righteousness experiences the abundant life. Now it goes on to talk about those who don't pursue righteousness and who do evil. So let's just focus on this first part because we're not that last part. A son of righteousness experiences the abundant life. Isn't that you and I today? Aren't we compassed about or surrounded with righteousness as a shield to protect us? And if that's true, then we've got righteousness, peace, and then now I want to talk about this last element of joy. Now here's another psalm that is prophetic of David. You love righteousness and hate wicked. Maybe it's prophetic of Jesus, written of David. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with what? The oil of gladness. And what does the oil represent? The anointing of the Holy Spirit. So he says he's anointed us with the oil of gladness, or Jesus with the oil of gladness, more than your companions. Now this is, if Jesus had this poured out upon him, and we're being conformed to his image day by day, then we ought to be walking in this same joy. Joy is not something that is caused by what happens around us. Happiness is due to what happens. Joy comes from deep within, knowing that I'm at peace with God because he made me righteous through the work of the cross, through that redemptive work, all flowing from his love. Hebrews 1:9 really says this. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. So we see this stated now as a New Testament fact concerning Jesus. But we are sharers in that covenant, in this new covenant of grace, to receive this anointing, this oil of gladness, this joy. And why should we not have joy? There is nothing between you and God now. There is peace between heaven and men like you and I on earth, and it's available to all. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says that to console those who mourn in Zion, and listen to this list, to give them beauty for ashes. We've talked about you being beautiful in God's eyes. The oil of joy to replace the mourning, the sadness, the woe is me thoughts. The garment of praise to lift that spirit of heaviness. And look at how this ends. That they, you and I, may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Now, don't stop here. That he may be glorified. So if we don't get this revelation of righteousness, if we don't become strong in him, like Psalm 99 verse 12 reads, and let me just read it to you. It's 92 verse 12. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. So if we don't have a revelation of this and walk in it, then there's part of this verse that won't happen. God won't get the glory for the work he's done. And we want Jesus to get all. So it's through that love that we've been made righteous, that peace has come to us and that a spirit of joy pervades us, and it ought to all the time. So I want to just quickly go through these scriptures now that we've looked at. Hebrews 5, verse 13, we saw that righteousness is a necessary revelation for maturity. As the Passion Translation says, we don't want to be an infant who has not yet been pierced by the revelation of righteousness. We want righteousness to have a work in us. Isaiah 54 says, in righteousness you will establish yourself, and you will be far from oppression and terror, having no fear, just as we saw a moment ago, because of that peace that we have. The third thing, Romans 5:17 says, both grace, covenant love, and righteousness enables us to reign as kings in life. We rule over our flesh, not our flesh dominating us. And that as the end time approaches and things go crazy, we saw that one of the things that Scripture does is instruct us in righteousness so that we may be complete, equipped for every good work that He calls us to do. And last week, we saw in Matthew 6:33, and we saw in two scriptures, in one in 1 Timothy, one in 2 Timothy, the same thing. It tells us to seek first the kingdom of God, and we do that by seeking His righteousness, and then all these things that we've been talking about will be added to us. You cannot separate His love from His goodness, His righteousness and His goodness. His kingdom and His righteousness are linked together. Now listen to Isaiah 58 and see what living from His Spirit will do. Now, early part of this verse is in chapter 58 is talking about what believers will begin to do and how they'll be living from the Spirit of God, living out their righteousness. Not making themselves righteousness, but living out that righteousness that they've made to be. And so it's talking about us. It says, when we do that, then your light will break out like the dawn. I think of Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for your light has come. When we know righteousness, that light, we saw that in another psalm today. Then it says, and your recovery will spring forth speedily, spiritually, physically, in every way. Soulishly, in our minds, peace in our minds. And here's the phrases that I want you to see. And your righteousness, the righteousness that is of God in our position in Christ Jesus, will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Let me read you the Passion Translation for that last phrase. Your righteousness will pave your way. It's like you've got a big field and you've got a lawnmower that righteousness is driving out ahead of you, and it's making a path through that field so that you, every step you take, you're in exactly the right place. And you don't need to look behind you, because what does it say? From the Passion, the glory of God will pursue your passage. Do you see your life in that? Do you see the life that we can live in the abundance of His goodness, all because of this great love that He's poured out on? As I said, this is not a series one and done, but I'm sure the Lord is going to bring up more things to us from righteousness and tie some of our future studies to it. And so, thank you for joining with us through these 7 sessions. I trust that you, in these 7 sessions, has truly had your heart pierced by the revelation of righteousness. Be blessed, and I look forward to see how He guides you through that path, assuring your success on it. Bless you.